I have found, don't do it alone. Don't be too proud to do anything alone, because, yeah, you might fail, or I don't know, just like, just know that you aren't weaker because you are asking for help. And that's a big thing that I've needed to learn, because growing up, like, in Newport, I was alone, and I was too proud to ask for help. It all goes back to ego and all of that stuff, and it's like, once I opened myself up to healing and learning and growing and getting help from others is when I really, truly saw, like, progress in my life. So where I am today is because of the people around me. They have helped bring me up. It isn't just me.
So bye, D, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Healing Out Loud, where we focus on Lao diaspora storytelling, healing, and tools for sustainability. And did y'all catch what I just did there? Well, if you didn't, let me do a quick side note. So I decided to change the log line of this podcast from Lao American storytelling to Lao diaspora storytelling. And oh my gosh, yes, I know, scary change. It's called growth, LOL. Well, I figured, why not be more intentional about collecting stories of the global diaspora moving forward? And I wanted to do this because I've received so much feedback from you all that this podcast has impacted folks outside of the US, and that's freaking amazing. And so I do still want to acknowledge that this point of view is still very US-centric, which means that it is based off of my experiences and the people in my communities and all the folks I've connected with throughout time. And that's okay. And I just want to continue to be as transparent as possible with you all. But overall, it's been so heartwarming and incredible to hear from people like yourselves from New Zealand, France, Germany, Australia, Canada, and beyond. It's just amazing that we can connect through these stories that have already been published. And that's only 10 plus individuals, y'all. And there's like millions of us around the world. And so I just want to emphasize what connects us is our beautiful motherland of Laos. And so moving forward, I am excited to reach out to folks outside of my peripheral in the US and outside, and gather more of those nuanced stories outside what most of us think is the only Lao diaspora experience. The thing is that their community is so vast and so diverse. And so it's like, you don't know about somebody else's journey until you hear it. And maybe some of you are like, wow, this story really resonated with me. I really connected, right? And then maybe others are like, whoa, I didn't know that about somebody in the Lao diaspora. And you can still appreciate the diversity of voices in our community across the globe. Now back to this beautiful episode. I feature someone who is a young force to be reckoned with, and you will see how and why through this episode. So without further delaying your eagerness to listen in, here is Dana Dang. Hi, fam. Welcome to the Healing Out Loud podcast, a podcast that explores Lao American storytelling, healing, and tools for sustainability. My name is Rita Pemi Saik, and I am your host. And today, I am so excited to introduce my next Lao American guest, Miss Dana Dang, who is a social media strategist, content creator, business, badass woman, entrepreneur, and mother to Benny the Boop. So welcome, Dana.
Hey, Rita. What an intro for me.
Of course. Have to clarify. Who is Benny the Boop?
He is my dog. Okay. I just got him about a month ago, and now I am a mother.
Oh, congrats to your newborn.
Thank you.
Oh, Dana, I'm so excited to have you on Healing Out Loud.
Me too. I'm so nervous. nervous. I don't know why.
Ooh, shake it off. Well, I'm just so excited because I know you have such a beautiful story to tell. And I love getting to know you ever since we met when Los Angeles formed about like a year and a half ago. Can you believe that?
It feels like last week, but also so long ago. I feel like it formed so recently, yet like my relationships with you and Sang and other people in Los Angeles, like I feel like I've known forever.
Right.
It's so great.
It's so beautiful. Shout out to Big Sis Cuckoo. Hey. Always. She's been shout out so many times in this podcast.
I was going to say, like, how many times has the word like cuckoo or cool up been mentioned every day in our lives?
I'm going to take a stats of that.
Thanks, Kula.
Thanks, Cuckoo. Well, anyways, I'm just so inspired by you. I'm so proud of you. You're, a boss woman that, you know, I think is setting, like, the bar so high for so many people, not only in our Latin American community, but women. And so I wanted to bring you on today to talk about your experiences because I know it always hasn't been easy, like, yeah. You know, and you've overcome so many different challenges and you do so many different things now that you know, you just have a way of carrying yourself with such grace and so calm and collectiveness that we see, right? Online, but again, but like if you could first introduce yourself and then we'll dive into your Lao origin story. Anything that you would like to share in this space?
Okay.
In the beginning.
Hey, I'm Dana. what am I doing? I'm introducing myself. Yeah. I'm Dana. I work in digital marketing. I just finished school. I started a company over a year ago. Whoa. And my company is a digital marketing company. And holy shit. I'm 24 and I started a company. I don't know what else to say.
Well, let's just pause. Yeah. Can we pause?
Yeah.
She's 24. She started her own company. God damn. Oh my gosh, at 24, I was like in the middle of grad school, like crying, like literally. And you're here, 24, managing yourself, managing people, managing clients. I'm just so impressed. But I want to backtrack a little bit because. Yes. It all didn't just, like, start, like, boom, you know, you started a company, mm-hmm. like, at 24, but there had to be, like, a story behind that. And okay. So I'm wondering, like, you know, for you, like, can you talk about, because I know, what I know if you grew up around Newport Beach area, which is in SoCal, Southern California. Mm-hmm. So could you share a little bit about your experiences of, you know, your story as it related to growing up in that specific area?
Okay. So, I mean, before Newport was Minnesota. I was born in Anaheim or Garden Grove. And when I was 2, my mom and I moved to Minnesota to go be with her parents, my grandparents, and my family over there. Who are from Laos.
Okay.
Yes. And so I grew up in Minnesota until about 7th grade. And then my mom and I moved to Newport Beach. And I guess, I mean, my mom's not going to listen to this. So I
hey, unfiltered, raw.
Unfiltered, raw, what's up? My mom, she just, like, she had me at 17. She was a young mom. And a lot of, I guess, the issues I have with my mom today are related to her issues with her dad and my grandma and herself. And so I guess, like, you're talking to me at a really weird time in my life right now where I'm figuring out my relationship with my mom still. But because she had me so young, she kind of just she loved the excuse of, I had you young. I didn't get to go out and party and do this when I first had you. So then, like, she kind of did it as I got older. So she did move me from Minnesota to California. However, when we did move to California, she was basically living in Vegas and kind of left me in Newport. So I kind of, like, when you say, like, talk about your experiences in Newport, one, moving from Minnesota nice to, like, Orange County is already, like, a tough thing just as, like, what, I was 12 maybe, like,
what
people
was tough
people aren't as friendly there, and, like, I don't know, just everyone was so nice in Minnesota. I had my crew, I had my roots there. And for my roots to be pulled out and then brought to California, and then my mom wasn't really there for me, so I didn't have any family that I knew of in California, because at this time, I didn't know I was related to Kulop, who lived an hour away from me.
Okay, like, so it was only you and your mom that moved to Newport.
Yes. And so then she moved me to Newport, and I'm being this little preteen brat, like, oh, it's the end of the world. Oh, no, like, all of my friends, blah, blah, blah. And, like, of course, like, at that time, it was the end of the world for me. But then I got used to it. I made friends. But it was tough, because that's the moment, like, a pivotal moment in my life where, oh, you have to be independent. Because my mom would go to Vegas every weekend and then go for weeks at a time. And by my junior and senior year, she was living in Vegas and I was living in Newport, going to school, like driving a car without my license when I was 15. Like, it wasn't like the most, I don't know.
Why Newport though?
She claimed it was, what was it? Because of the schools.
She
loves to say, wherever you lived is because of the schools, which is great. I mean, Newport's a beautiful city. But one thing I would say is that is where I started to see my color the most. In Minnesota, I don't think I ever was insecure, I guess, but it also comes with age, too. I'm not sure if it's just, like, a city thing or an age thing, or it's probably both.
But also, like, thinking about the demographics in Minnesota, like, where you were, was it predominantly white? Was it, like, there's a lot of Lao community? Was there, like, people of color? What was it?
I guess in Minnesota, for school, it was predominantly white. And there was like a big portion of people of color too. And I was just friends with everyone. Mm-hmm. And then also my aunts and my family there, they were all Lao. And like when we would visit my grandparents, it was Lao. And like we would go to the temple and I would just be surrounded by our people. Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful thing. And when I moved to Newport was kind of when I lost my roots in religion. And my roots in just like who, like the person of color I am. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't even want to be Asian. Like I was like, why wasn't I white? And I would always like embrace like, oh, I'm a Twinkie. I'm yellow on the outside and white on the inside, which is like
totally me. I got it.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, I don't want to hide behind that. I just want to be like, I am who I am. And like, so today who I am, I'm proud of who I am.
Yeah.
But back then when I was in Newport, that was like the moment in which like everyone, it was like predominantly white. And there were like hierarchies of like social class and like wealth and just like all of this stuff. So like it was honestly just a bunch of rich white kids and I would try to fit in with them. And there were like Mexicans, Asians, and just like so many different other races. But then they were honestly like it was clear from my peers that like they were below them. And for me, I was just this brat who like I didn't like who I was because I was like, I want to be white. So then I thought I was white and I would hang out with these rich white kids and then be like, oh, well, at least like Asianness is like more of a, I guess, superior race to like
the model minority.
Yes.
And it was already like, it sounded like it was already inherent in you. You're like, I knew there was a sense of power that I had, but I didn't know what it was. But then there was this like level of triangulation too, right?
I didn't know what the model minority was back then.
But you felt it, right?
Yes. This like the epitome of it. And it just blew my mind because I was like, thinking about, like, right now in my mind is being blown, like, thinking about Minnesota compared to Newport is when I did see my color. And I was like, I'm going to embrace this Asianness because it's the best of the colors, which is so fucked up. Ooh, can I say that word?
Yes, okay. Please.
And like, that was just, like, I didn't like who I, like, had become. And, like, I look back on that and I'm like, of course, like, I learned from it, but there were kids in my hallways screaming, like, white power. Just, like, 6 months ago, the school had, the swastikas all over the school, and, like, it just hit the news. Like, the school I went to is not a great model for
Diversity is also justice, the issues.
Like, it's just so, I don't know. I guess I went from one to the other.
It's kind of like a complete 180 as it relates to also socioeconomic status. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you left a community that you felt like you belonged to. The yes. Lao community, essentially your family, to come to a place where it's like you only you and your mom. And I can imagine your mom just dip-setting how that would have made me feel. Like, mm-hmm. my mom just like, oh, you just left and I'm just here to fend for myself. So
yes.
I'm wondering, like, you know, during that time, it's just a formative age. I mean, we're just hitting puberty. Mm-hmm. You know, you're 12 years old?
I was 12, 13.
12 or 13, something. Right. And so it's like you're about to be a teenager, adolescent. Like, how did you learn how to navigate, like, being alone at that, like,
even I guess
from that start of an age?
I just kind of did it. I mean, I guess it's like the refugee in me, even though I was born
here. I'm done. But also, like, thinking about, people don't survive in silos. You know, there's ecosystems, right? Yeah. There's people, like, around us that there's support. But yeah. Did you find another type of family, community?
Yes. To support you? I guess, like, the refugee in me was the one who was like, okay, I'm alone. My mom's not always here, so I need to make friends mm-hmm. and just be a good person. And kind of, like, I don't know, it was just like the people came. Like, honestly, like, all of my best friends, their parents, when I was in Newport, they knew what was going on more than I did because I was a kid. I was like, oh, high school experience, prom, like, just like focusing on those things, even though they're like, oh, it's clear Dana's mom isn't here. Like, now I can see it. And they would be like, Dana, want to come over for dinner? Dana, want to fill out college applications? Dana, did you know you go to college after high school? I did not know that. And it was just like, there were things that, like, I should know, but I just didn't. And I still don't. Like, have I started my retirement fund? No. Do I know I need to now? Yes. Am I going to do that this year? I hope so.
Good questions. Like, you're asking yourself now.
And so, I don't know. I surrounded myself with people who loved me and people I loved. And it was very clear that a lot of the adults in my life, that being a roommate, my mom and I had maybe, like, my mom would like to, like, rent rooms and I would live in the room. One of our roommates, Kat, she was great, but I think I was 16 and she was like, Dana, she sat me down and it was like the first hard conversation I had. She was just like, Dana, I love you so dearly and you are like a little sister to me. And she's just this, like, what, 32-year-old dental assistant, like, living in Costa Mesa. And she was just like, but Dana, I signed up to, like, rent out my room and not to raise a kid, which is totally understandable because my mom put her under the impression that we were renting a room and my mom would be there, but my mom would leave for weeks at a time and it would just be me. And then Kat would be like, oh, she's like, I can't help but take care of you. And she's just like, but I, like, also, she's just like, I need to, like, talk to your mom. And, like, of course, that ended poorly with them, too. And Kat and I are, like, we don't really talk now, but, like, I do know she was there to take care of me. And there are people who I was friends with in high school who I am no longer friends with, but I'm still friends with their parents. Like, these people have made such an impact in my life and in, like, changing my life. And I guess it was me, like, also just saying, like, you need to be smart about your life. I don't know, just like the independence that I got from my mom. Of course it was hard, but I also, like, just would not be who I am without it. But I do want to go back on to the fact that when we did move from Minnesota to Newport, that's when I, like, lost my ties with, like, religion and, like, culture and anything like that, because I was alone and I was raising myself and being raised by the people who were surrounding me. I lost touch with, like, I cannot speak Lao, I can't speak Thai, I can't speak Vietnamese, like, I can't speak any of the languages that are in my blood, which is such a bummer to me. And I know I can change it and, like, go learn and all that stuff now, and so that is on my list. Hopefully yes. I get to it. I was just very sad because, like, it still makes me sad today just knowing, like, that's where the culture ties cut. Because I remember going every summer to the Vet with my grandparents. Like, I have these memories, and then I also don't have these memories. So then I grew up, I can't speak the native tongue, and, like, I'm in Los Angeles, and if, like, honestly, if I were not related to Cool Up, and she started this group, and I probably, maybe let's say I came across it on social media, because of, like, also just being a millennial growing up in the digital age, I have social anxiety, and, like, things like that. So, like, honestly, like, I cannot tell you if I would have showed up to, like, a Los Angeles meeting if I didn't know Cool Up or anything. Like, Cool Up is a strong force, and she did kind of have to, like, not stiff arm me, but drag me into this, I guess, embracing of my culture. And in Newport, it was something I was ashamed of, like, being Asian. All I wanted to be was white. And then it just, like, this full 180 of, like, embrace your culture, and, like, I love it today. Like, I'm so proud to be a Latin American woman today. It's just, like, I don't know what I would have done. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain
it. Yeah! It's okay! It's okay! And I think it's absolutely okay to be, like, in the I don't know, because I think that's literally what life is about. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't like to use the word insane, but it's just like, it's just wild that, you know, some people that are so attached to, like, what they think they know. There's absolutely no way we can know any type of outcome in life.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. Like, all we'd have to do is take risks and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're at the brink of figuring it out. And I think I'm so, like, proud of you for just, like, you know, trusting in yourself, like, in the universe to know that this community is for you. Like, this community is here to take care of you, you know, and to nurture, like, that part of you
mm-hmm.
that maybe didn't get to experience for in your formative years.
Yeah.
And it's, like, absolutely out of your control, you know, like,
right.
These are things that are so abstract and we don't get to talk about them, but it's like now you have a level of consciousness that you're willing to learn. I think that's the most beautiful part of, you know, of your story, is like being able to bounce back, to have that grit of just like, you know, I was put in this situation, I didn't deserve this, but here I am, like, what's up, you know,
let's do this.
And let's just say, like, you know, you've added so much, like, you know, of your insight, your energy to the building of Los Angeles in the mm-hmm. beginning, you know, assisting Cool Up, and I think, you know, you've definitely
social media.
Yeah, you build that social media, sis. So you, let's not discount that. But I wanted to go back because you talked a little bit about, you know, your Thai side, but also your Vietnamese side.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about, like, about that lineage?
Funny that you ask me. I just got my 23andMe back.
Okay. 23andMe is, for folks who may not know.
Yes. Oh, are you
explaining it? Yeah, explain it. What does 23andMe mean?
So it's a genetic test where you spit into a tube and it's pretty gross, but you send it back and they tell you what your DNA, it says your DNA tells the story of who you are and how you're connected to populations around the world. So basically, like, who your ancestors are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked.
Wow. Okay, let's reveal it.
So this we'll probably have to talk about a few things, but okay, so do you have any guesses?
Well, the ones I know, but probably, like, Vietnamese, Thai, Chinese.
Okay, so I'm actually, let's...
Malaysian? Just random?
I'm sorry, I'm dead. I'm reading this. I'm 81.2% Vietnamese.
Wow.
And I am, of course, when I'm checking it, it won't load. Oh, here we go. And I am 8.4% Lao.
What?
Right.
8.4.
And that is that below, and then 1.1% Chinese. And then there's a 0.01% Cambodia from Phnom Penh.
Okay.
And then it says the province of Laos, which is cool. It says Savannakhet.
Okay. Which is where your family is.
Yes.
From, like, your mother's side.
Exactly. And so I'm like, 8.4%. What? And this kind of goes back to, like, I think it was a year ago, my grandparents and my mom and her sisters went back to Laos, and they had a conversation with them, and they never told us, but basically my grandmother is of Vietnamese blood, but she was born in Ubon, Thailand, and identifies as Thai. And then my grandfather, who is from Si Pandon, he identifies as Lao, but then I'm like, how much is he if I'm only 8.4%?
You kind of do this calculation. Yeah.
But it was just funny because that was my first, I guess, experience with, oh, even though this is your blood, what you identify is what you are. Because absolutely. That's your self-identifying.
But that's the thing, is that identity is so personal, mm-hmm. right? There's no one right way to, you know, it makes no sense for anybody to be like, oh no, you're Vietnamese, or right. you're like Lao, you're like 100% Thai. Mm-hmm. It's just like, because it's about your lived experiences, how yep. you self-identify. It's so personal, right? And so for you, like, what I mean, besides like seeing like, you know, those stats and, you know, those percentages growing up, I remember you sharing also that your dad is Vietnamese.
Yes, my dad is Vietnamese. So of course 50% of the 82% is Viet. And so then there's also that, like, me and embracing my Vietnamese part of myself. Mm-hmm. And that was, I remember growing up, this is a memory from Minnesota, is I remember growing up and the elders in my community, or my cousins, or like just the family friends, just like the kids from the vet, like that you would hang out with, they would always call me Viet Noi, a little Viet. And like, I was ashamed of it because they made me feel different than mm-hmm. what they were. But little do they know, they freaking have Vietnamese in their blood too.
I'm like, who's fooled now?
Like, look at these blood tests. So I remember being ashamed of it, and it's a part of me that I haven't really embraced because my dad isn't in my life. I mean, my mom left him when I was 2. And we did try throughout the years to kind of have a relationship, but like, he got remarried, he had more kids, and he just, like, I wasn't a priority to him, and like, I really wanted him, and then he didn't. And so now, today, like, I don't think I've talked to my dad in like maybe a decade, maybe longer. And it's a bummer. I hope to one day have a relationship with my siblings, but maybe when they're older. But it does tie me to, like, okay, I've embraced the 8.4% Lao I am.
And it's so loud. We yeah, can see
it's
it.
So loud.
You've been to Laos too?
Yes, I do love Laos. I'm going back soon. I don't know. I'll book a flight sometime. But I do want to learn how to embrace the Viet in me as well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I just don't know how I'm going to do that yet.
Well, there's so much to even talk about, because I think, and on top of, like, you know, the trauma of your dad, like, in a way rejecting you, mm-hmm. right?
And, oh, absolutely.
And you know, that can mean so much, you know, for a child. Parents are just so important in their children's lives, or the caregivers, but then when there's a sense of rejection, right, it's as if, like, I'm not worthy enough, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not enough. And then, you know, even I'm thinking about, like, what is, you know, maybe my sense of, like, attachment of, like, his Viet identity to him being my dad. If we can just separate that, right? Yeah. What would that mean for, you know, my healing process? I wonder, you know, like, because there's just so much that we can conglomerate, mm-hmm. like, a lot of different roles in our lives, right? Like, where I can play the role of a daughter, play the role of a mother. Yeah, well, not a mother, but, like, you know,
all that,
but if we can just have, like, you know, understanding, like, oh, like, this is who he wasn't a good dad, but maybe this part of my Vietnamese side, like, mm-hmm. you know, one day, maybe I'll be even embraced because I can detach that yes. part of him. Does that make sense?
Hopefully. I wonder. I can get there. No, yeah. If I detach it, then maybe I'll embrace it more.
Yeah. But it's definitely a process.
Fun fact, Vietnamese was my first language, too.
What?
And now I don't know any of it. It's so tough. Like, what? I spoke Vietnamese before I spoke English. You listen to my voice. I sound like this valley girl. This is just who I am.
Right.
And I just...
I mean, there's so much to continue to process. And I think mm-hmm. that's the beautiful part of, like, the healing process. We're still uncovering so many things. So I want to kind of talk about now, like, you know, there's so much that we shared about, you know, you shared about just your own becoming of your mm-hmm. Lao identity, this, you know, understanding, like, maybe, like, what's the entry point to being, like, you know, Vietnamese American also.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much, you know, in family dynamics and all that. Like, for you, how do you define healing, and how have you brought healing into your own life?
How do I define healing? Healing to me is an ongoing process. I don't think it's possible to always just be 100% healed. And because of that, since it's a process, it's the act of healing, you have to put yourself first at times, and you have to take care of yourself. It brings you back to self-care and self-love. And some people heal by binge watching TV, but then sometimes it gets past the threshold of, are you healing or are you now avoiding your reality or something like that? So I think it's just like healing is a mindful act, and you have to do things that serve you and be with people that serve you and just listen to yourself, like trust yourself, which I'm still working on too.
Yeah.
I don't know if that
How are you? Yeah. Well, tell me, like, what's been a way you've been able to trust yourself?
Whoa.
You're 24.
I mean,
you've already lived like so many lives. Like, I can't even tell you. I'm like, oh my gosh, like you have an incredible story. So yeah. What is, like, you know, one example of, like, how have you been able to trust yourself?
I mean, to be honest, I'm still working on that. And so I think it's just little leaps of, I guess, faith, like one step and take another step and take another step. I will not jump off the cliff. I will just keep taking steps. And I mean, I have great people in my life, like you and Sang and Kulap, who like do hold my hand through times of like trials and tribulations of like when I'm struggling or when I'm at a crossroads. I have found, don't do it alone. Don't be too proud to do anything alone, because yeah, you might fail, or I don't know, just know that you aren't weaker because you are asking for help. And that's a big thing that I've needed to learn, because growing up, like in Newport, I was alone and I was too proud to ask for help. It all goes back to ego and all of that stuff. And it's like, once I opened myself up to healing and learning and growing and getting help from others is when I really truly saw like progress in my life. So where I am today is because of the people around me. They have helped bring me up. It isn't just me. Yeah.
So it's a community effort.
I love that. A community effort.
You're the product of a community effort. I think we all are. We all have benefited from each other.
Yes.
Let's just talk about that point blank.
For like, sure.
Since Los Angeles, like, all of us have been like,
oh
my gosh. Like, I mean, I've learned so much from you, like, you know, through just your social media strategies, just your own confidence. You've helped boost my confidence, like, so much.
Love that.
Yes. No, seriously.
I mean,
and just having all of us together, I feel like it allows us to take more risk, right?
Yes.
Like I think that's what me and Kulap were talking about one time, where we were like, oh yeah, like, because we have such a strong foundation now in Los Angeles, where all of us like love each other, support each other. It's not always like rainbows and butterflies. We definitely have like conflicts within, but we learn how to manage it, right?
Yes.
We learn like best ways to see each other beyond that conflict and have compassion. But I think that was one of the most important things that have helped me leap into this new journey in my chapter, right?
And which, hello, hi, I don't even know what episode this is going to be, but you just left UCLA. Can we talk about that? I mean, I know this is an episode talking to me, but hello, the people want to know.
Oh my God. All right, now the new host of Healing Out Loud is Dana Singh.
That's my thing. I stole Sang's show. I'm stealing.
You have. how do you just have this confidence? Please give me this confidence to just steal people's shows.
Frida, it's in you. But for real, hi.
I mean,
just tell me.
But that's the thing, is that I think is so beautiful, is because I think whatever happens beyond UCLA for me, y'all have lifted me up in tenfold, where I'm like, you know what? If I fail, I fail, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is like, I have people who are literally have my wings. Like,
yes.
I feel like I'm flying, right? But like, you know, if anything, whatever, like,
ever fall apart or, like, you know, I run into, like, you know, like, financial debt or something like that, I know at the end of the day I can pick myself up because I feel like we've poured so much love and so much support for each other that
for sure.
that I'm like, yo, like, this is family. This is yes. the family we recreated.
Yes.
Where we needed it when we grew up. We didn't have the privilege of having, you know. But now it's like, okay, well, do it. We're just here to cheer you on.
Yes.
That's how I feel. So I don't know.
Both of us are a product of community. I don't know. It's just, I feel like everyone is. Everyone is, what is that saying? Like, your five closest friends is, like, you are the average. Like, that's who you are type of thing. And I loved hearing that. But then I'm like, oh, my, like, 500 friggin', like, everyone around me who has had one conversation with me, I've only met once, who's made an impact on my life. I am who I am because of just everyone around me and everything I've been through. And I think it's great. And I'm looking forward to, like, see where I go next. And I'm also looking forward to see where you go next.
Aww.
Again, she just left UCLA.
I know, it's wild. Because I think there's a part of me too, I think I had to realize that my identity was so attached to this institution, like, and I think there's a part of me that got lost in the mix of things where I didn't really know who I was anymore. And I think, like, I literally came to LA, everything I knew was UCLA.
Need to have an episode on you, but who's gonna host you? Because I know you and I know what things you've been through, and now it's like in relation to UCLA, like. I don't know, everyone who's listening, this is huge. Like, I could start crying right now. Holy crap, I just realized it, and it just...
Oh, my God! Go ahead. Let's not hear it for it.
Rita!
Oh, I love you. Oh, so much love. No, like, seriously, like, shake it off.
Oh, Rita.
But seriously, like, I think, like, I feel like this has been a rebirth of who I am, too, which is why I think... I just want to move full forward, like, you know, and also just understand what is my attachment to all the things that I encompass, right? Because sometimes I can sometimes have an unhealthy attachment to them based off of my, you know, my upbringing, you know, my parents and how they were with us. And so, you know, I think there was just so much pride, of course, in the beginning when I moved here and I was able to do things by myself, but then also, like, a lot of scared and fear about, like, what's gonna happen next. Like, and I think UCLA was very safe for me.
It was safe
because
was
I had a community,
and
it was very structured, and that's safe to me, right?
Yes.
Because I you know, one of the reasons why I came to UCLA in grad school is because I didn't know what I was gonna do after undergrad, because you know, there's this fallacy that once you get you graduate undergrad, you're supposed to get a job after. It doesn't really happen like that. Life isn't so A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
You know, there's no formula for it. And I think, you know, coming here has actually exponentially basically made me freaking realize all the trauma. You know, sometimes you just have a community, you're like, bam, you're like, oh shit, I haven't resolved this.
Ooh, that's a trigger.
Triggered. So I think for me, like, it has been, like, definitely a journey to become who I need to be in order to best serve my community, right?
Yes.
The Lao diaspora, you know, like, the queer, the femmes, the women, and all these folks in my life, all these different marginalized identities. And I realized, I'm like, I cannot grow and do it at UCLA anymore because there's, like, a threshold. Like, you kind of hit a point where you're like, okay, this is the most that I feel like I can get from this institution, and I'm not... Like, my identity is not tied to this institution anymore. I think
once you stop growing, you gotta get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and you did it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that's already just, like, a step in the evolution of Rita.
Aww. And I'm so grateful that Dana Dane got to be here and my evolution of Rita and Riri and all these other personas.
Dang. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm so thrilled. And I, like, you do have an amazing community behind you. And
it's wild. Like, I literally feel like, how the hell did I build this, like, this basically this network? I have no idea. I mean, But, you know, right? But then again, like, I do kind of, because I think there's a part of me that once I was able to trust myself more, that was the biggest thing, right? Once I was able to just be like, okay, these people have my back. Yes. Like, I don't have anything to worry about, right? The person that you worry about is me right now. Like, I don't need to worry about, like, what are people thinking? Like, what are people, like, have to say? Like, because it really doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, I have to come home to me.
Yes.
And I have to face my fears. And I have to learn, like, you know, this understanding of who I am outside of all these different things, right? And so, you know, I'm just so grateful for the Los Angeles and the community to just be like, hey, we got you. Mm-hmm. We got you. Do your thing.
Truly.
We got you.
And you're doing it. And it's just like, it's beautiful because, like, for both of our stories and everyone's stories, honestly, community is the common factor. I would not have started my company and I would not be who I am without the community. And trusting that, like, if I fail, it's okay. And the community has me. And same thing for you. It's like, would you have left UCLA if you didn't have this huge community behind you?
Gosh.
Maybe you would have, but it might have taken longer.
Like, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is like, it took me, what, like 6 years? Well, I feel like I went to grad school for 3 years, stayed at UCLA for 3 more years to work. And I realized, I'm like, the announcement just came into bloom, you know? And that's when it exponentially, like, I was like, I gotta go, you know?
The rush of the Taurus bull, aka Kula.
Speaking from like a Taurus point of view. Yes.
Just going for it.
Steadfast. That's who you are. Ugh. So I want to you know, thank you so much for
tangent.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm sorry. But not.
But like, let's talk about your business. Let's talk about like your becoming of a businesswoman entrepreneur. I think that's so badass. And I have to say, like literally I admire you so much. So please, like, what was, you know, even just in a nutshell, like, what was that like for you just build at age freaking 24? I still wow, you're amazing.
I thought about it and I kind of touched on it in this article, like this interview I just had, and it was kind of just the, I guess, what the American dream is. And it's how the American dream is defined differently by different people. And to my grandfather from Laos, it was like, go to business school, get a job, become rich. And I started on those steps because that was what I thought was what I had to do. And it did take me 6 years to get through undergrad, which I am not proud of, but then I'm also like, fuck yeah, I'm proud of.
Yo,
because I got a degree.
Freaking, like, congratulate. You got a freaking bachelor's. Yes. That's freaking huge.
And
not
it's
everybody
not a
does
race.
That.
It's just,
you know, it's a marathon.
Yeah. It's a marathon and I'm still going. And
you still got the degree. It don't matter what the timeline is.
Fuck yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. And so that was the path I started on. And I was just like, really? It's, let's say, when I started my company, it's 2018. Is this what I want to do? I went to school for business finance. Like, is this what I want to do? Do I want to go to work every day and help people with their freaking money? Like, not really. Did I love the aspect of finance where you could go consulting because you kind of are your own boss? Yes. And I kind of fed off of the idea of this one internship I had at PricewaterhouseCoopers, which is like a big firm. And it was, oh, if I worked here, I would make it work. Like, if I'm forced into the business world, then I'm going to work my way up in this company and become a consultant. But then I was like, wait, that was a goal of mine for like a year. And I was like, I don't need to spend 15 years working my way up in a company when I could just start one now. And that is kind of just like the seed that sparked my, oh, you can be your own boss type of thing. And I met this woman, her name is Sam, and she is a badass. And she is actually Kulop's publicist. And she started a firm, and it's an all-woman firm. And the way she runs her company is a beautiful thing to me. And I was like, oh, you don't have to work at a big company to be rich, successful, happy, all of those things that I thought I needed. And it all kind of just stemmed from like one, like all of the jobs I had kind of had a consistent aspect of social media, and like my brain, it just works fast. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I have a math brain. And so like, if I look at Instagram all day, you could think it's just mindless scrolling. But then for me, it's like, I'm learning the algorithm every day. Like, I don't know. It's just a thing in my head I have. And so I'm like, okay, these are my consistent things. I have skills in math. I have skills in stats, reports, and also social media and content creation. So I was like, this is where my skill set lies. And then I got my first client, a fashion blogger, worked with fashion bloggers, kept evolving, then started working with Cool Op and Origin Story Doc. See my name in the credits.
Hey!
And I just kind of was doing it. And then eventually I got my first client that was a big client. And then I got another big client. And then I'm like, oh, this is, I'm getting, what's the word? I don't know the word. Not doing well with taxes because I was an independent contractor. So I was getting taxed 30%. And the finance Dana and me was like, oh, if you start an LLC in California, you'll get taxed average 13 to 15%. So then I started my firm or my LLC, and I just kind of started that out of selfish reasons of just saving money. And then from there, I was like,
smart reason. I was like, you're just being smart.
Okay,
you're like,
thank you. And from there, I kind of just started, like, I got my logo, I got my website going. I got more clients, and it is scary. One month I'm making a lot of money with many clients, and other months I'm not making that much money, which is fine, and it's the name of the game. But I'm learning, and I'm here for it, and that's my company. I don't know.
Oh my god!
And oh my god, I hired somebody a few months ago.
Wow.
Right.
Oh my god, listen. I'm just like mind blown right now. At 24, you become your own boss. Mm-hmm. You literally are managing big name clients.
Yes.
And you literally are like a boss. Like, you just freaking hired somebody at 24. I'm like, people are people's assistants at 24. You know,
true.
Let's like, you know, not make this hierarchical, but I just feel like that is such a huge thing to be proud of. I hope you're proud of yourself,
you.
Dana. Like, that is incredible. Like, you can only go up from here.
Yes.
I mean, you level up at one point.
Yeah.
Like, the momentum is here.
I gotta keep going.
You gotta keep going.
Yes.
You gotta keep going.
And I will keep going.
You will. Oh my god, absolutely. There's, and then there's just, you got community. So mm-hmm. It's like, you have no excuse to not keep going. So,
okay.
Accountability right here from Big Sis Riri.
Yes. My
I'm like, Dana, are you going? Because I'm on your ass right now.
True. Okay.
So this is amazing. Like, you know, has there been any parts of, okay, you know, intersecting it back to like healing, like for you, like being your own boss, like, you know, running your own business, has there been any elements where you just felt like you are resilient, you are healing, you're thriving?
Yes, of course. I do. Yeah. I mean, where I am today, who I am today, and what I'm doing today is so enveloped in my trauma and the intergenerational trauma that, like, my mom went through. It's just, like, who, all of everything. Yeah, when you can see me, I'm, like, holding an air ball of just me. I don't know. I just, hi.
Speechless. I just feel, I hope, like, people can just feel, like, Dana's power.
Thank you. This
is power right here. Like, I don't know if there's any other word to describe this, but you are a powerhouse, and I hope you recognize that. And yeah, you don't have to be modest about this, because women today, like, you know, we're always told to, like, oh, don't, you know, brag too much, right? Or else you're going to become that bitch.
But, I am, like, that bitch.
Yeah!
Okay, Lizzo. I mean, yeah, I am very confident when it comes to work about who I am and what I do. But then when it boils back down to me, like, I go to therapy every week. I'm doing the work. Like, I'm never going to stop evolving, growing, healing, all of those acts of something for self-care, because I do want to make a difference in the world. And, like, the end goal of my company, like, I do, like, my company's motto is, like, social media, it has the capability of, like, sucking your soul. And so I've learned how to separate myself from social media and how it soul sucks. And I now take that part on for my clients. And it is tolling if I'm not in the right mental state, then my soul is sucked. But if I'm on it, then it's great. And eventually I do want to work with brands and people who do use their platform because it is a beautiful thing. Social media is beautiful. For the greater good. If you are advocating, like Rita, like if Rita was like, Dana, could you do my social media? I'd be like, hell yes, because she is going to make a difference in the world. And she already is. And it's just like, I want to help people grow who deserve to grow. I don't really want to help somebody sell their skinny girl tea or whatever those mm-hmm. ads are. But I just want to elevate everyone and bring up everyone the way I've been brought up. In the power I know.
Yes, this is beautiful because it really, it sounds like the work that you do is definitely based off integrity, right? Does this align with my value system? Mm-hmm. And if it does, right, if you're going to promote a social cause that I'm passionate about as well, like, mm-hmm. hell yeah, I'm going to help elevate you.
Exactly.
Right.
So then it's just this domino effect or this cause and effect type of thing, just everyone deserves to be elevated who is using their voice for the greater good of humanity. And of course it's like politically aligned with me.
I was like, we don't mention that, right? That's in the side notes.
Yes. But it's just think. Yeah, I don't know.
That's beautiful.
So that's the goal of my company. And honestly, Rita, that's my company today, but it might not be my forever, and that I'm okay with that too. Like whatever this is, I can the business Dana in me, I can get this company to run without me and have a passive income and figure out what I want to do. But this also may be the thing I want to do. I don't know, but I just...
Well, that's the thing. You're so freaking young. I'm just saying, I'm like, you have your life, like how many more decades to go? And it's like, of course, like it's going to evolve. Like, you know, maybe you're going to run the social media of the world. Like, who knows?
I imagine that. See you there.
Or you're going to be, working from Bali.
Honestly. Or who knows where I'll be in, honestly, 5 years.
Yeah. Seriously. But I think this is such a good starting point. And I hope, listeners, you get to really see life is not just a 9-to-5, right? Even if it's a 9-to-5, people have so many other things they love to do outside of that.
Yes.
And it's it's so inspiring to see that, okay, this is kind of what you stumbled into, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you went the non-traditional route
for sure.
Where you're like, I don't have to have this many years experience in order to consult now.
I just did it.
You basically skipped 15 years and you don't have any gray hairs yet.
I think I have one.
Okay, one.
One gray hair.
One for one.
I don't know why.
Oh my gosh. But this is amazing and I'm so proud of you. And so best of luck for the years to come. And one of my questions was gonna ask, how do you envision yourself growing or flourishing in the future? But I feel like you've kinda answered that.
That was it. I mean I guess with future, thinking about future, my first immediate thought is becoming a mom too. Aww. And so the life I am creating for myself is a life that I guess that's where everyone asks me why do you work hard, what is your drive? Because some people have said if I went through what you had gone through, which we're not touching on a lot of it, but they're like, I think I would have just become a cocaine addict and just had sex and just whatever at life. And they're like, how do you find the drive to be you? And it does, if you look through my first grade yearbook, what do you want to be when you grow up? Everyone puts veterinarian, teacher. I put mom. That's what I want to be. And so when I was 17, 18, I don't remember how old I was, I found out I don't have the ability to carry children. I was born without a uterus. And so that whole other whirlwind that we can touch on another time, but I found out I could not bear children and I was just at a loss. This was at 17 and I was just, what am I gonna do? And then that's when emotional things happen, depression and all of these feelings that I embrace now. Yes, I've been depressed. Yes, I have anxiety, all of these things, but it really boils down to okay, what is the solution to this? You can be depressed forever or you can work hard and then, because I have eggs. So basically you can work hard, make money and save money to have a surrogate and to have your own children. So honestly, of course, like, culture and all of these things we discussed earlier are, like, a huge part of who I am today, but my full-on drive to continue to work hard is to have kids in the future.
That's beautiful. Well, that's just, oh my gosh, I love that we wrapped it with that, because mm-hmm. I think it kind of sums up of, like, who, you know, what kind of mother that you would have also yes. loved to have, is that you're going to embody that in yes. the future, because you have now, like, just the knowledge, the skill set, but also the point of nurturing, yes. right? And you understand what it's like to also be in a shitty situation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can I be a better person, right? Actually, intergenerationally heal.
Yes.
Right?
Break the freaking cycle.
Break the cycle, right? Of intergenerational trauma.
Yes.
And heal. And you've done the work. And yes. I'm just, you know, again, I can't say this enough. I'm just so proud and so inspired by your vision. So, love you too.
Yay.
So now we're going to switch to the next segment. Oh, you're ready? We're still going. Uh-huh.
Sorry, people. Don't pause. Keep listening.
Exactly. We got, like, what, 10, 15 more minutes left. But, okay.
Here we go.
The next segment explores, like, you know, a quote or a meme talking about, like, healing or self-love. And so I want to hear your honest reactions to the quote.
Okay.
And so this quote is from one of my favorite writers and authors, Alex L.,
and I love her and her kids. See, so motherhood.
Exactly. I was like, I thought this quote's a little fitting. So please let me know what you think. So it says, I am here. I am whole. I am healing. And no one has the power to take that from me. Alex L.
I love that. Can you read that again?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. I am here. I am whole. I am healing. And no one has the power to take that from me.
That's beautiful. I mean, it's just, I am here, so I am present. And it's so important to be present. I don't love when I see friends or people I love just struggling, living in the past or living in the future. Like, it is so important to enjoy where you are here. And then, I am whole. Was that the next part?
Mm-hmm.
I am whole. And that is, when we talk about healing and how it's a constant thing, don't think that because you need to be healing means you're broken.
Mm-hmm.
You are always whole, and you're always, you're just like, you're always healing. I don't know if that even makes sense. Like, you are always, you are whole.
And you're a healing.
Yes.
And then well, that's the thing. It says I'm whole, I'm healing. That's the thing is that I think healing also takes place in a lot of different shapes and forms, right? Healing is very personal,
yes.
right? As much as identity mm-hmm. development is a very personal
mm-hmm.
experience for people. And so I always think about healing, it's like, you know, you're whole, but it's like you're just becoming wholer. Yeah, that makes sense. You're just like wholesome.
Or like you are whole, but you're evolving. When you're healing, your healing is your evolution of you.
Yeah.
So you're never broken. You're always whole, but you're just evolving by healing. And then the last part was, what was it?
No one has the power to take that away.
No one has it. No one has the power. And it's just, it's so important that, like, you are you. And what you do and what you think about yourself is your business. What others think about you is not even your business. Like, that is just their own stuff that they have to work
Absolutely.
Through. I do love that quote. And I love Alex L. And it's just...
I'll send it to you.
She's great. And it is so important to just truly, like, be yourself and love yourself. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir. These are things I'm working on every single day. I love my therapist. My dog is a freaking emotional support animal. Like, I am not preaching as, like, this perfect woman. Like, I am evolving, and I am changing, and I love it. And the moment I stop evolving is when I'm probably dead.
Oh.
And also, like, my life motto is, what is it? It's work hard when no one's asking, and be kind when no one is looking. Because that's just... I don't know. And that's also just to yourself. Be kind to yourself and work hard on yourself and do this in life. Just carry it through.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you, Dana.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. Woo.
I had so give much me fun. Chills. I'm like also sweating
now. Okay. Sweat it out. That's when you know you're into it.
Yeah, here we
go. So last couple segments, if there's, you've mentioned like so many already, but in terms of self-care tips and tools, for you, besides like, you know, therapy or, you know, having time for yourself, being present, are there any other self-care recommendations that you have for our listeners?
I mean, okay. Eat a freaking donut. Like, of yes. course, like, donuts are my brand. Like, I love donuts. And honestly, like, I probably eat them, like, every now and then. Like, I don't eat them as much as I make people think I eat them. But I love them. And it's just, it goes down to, like, the bigger picture of, like, everyone. It's, like, we are in a society that is constantly starving themselves because they want to,
like, especially in LA and for SoCal. Sure. For sure.
And it's, like, so you wake up to work all day and then you don't eat. I don't know. It's just, like, the way the society is running is just not a beautiful thing to me. It isn't not. It's just not. I don't love it. And I want to break that cycle and say, like, love your body and love it when it's 10 pounds heavier and 10 pounds lighter and just always love it. And don't restrict yourself from anything. Because if you really, like, I do believe in reincarnation, but if you do live one life as a human, then why are you suffering? Why are you putting yourself, willingly putting yourself through this pain.
And pain that's kind of like perceived pain too. Yes. Right? It's through perception.
And it's just, life is just all about balance. And like, some days I eat fast food every day and I'm like, oh, okay. But then the next week I'll be like, oh, my body doesn't want that. My body wants a vegetable. And it's just, it's balance. Just listen to your body. I don't know. Love
trial and error.
Yeah.
I think I would say one thing that I've seen you do really well is saying no. So I just want to mention that.
Thank you.
I feel like it's such an important self-care tip.
Yes.
But how do you do it? Like, Dana, whew. I feel like you're just so good at, like, you know, not feeling guilty about it. And you're just like, no, it's not for me.
No, it's not for me. I just, Rita, let me tell you, 2 years ago, that was my goal. Like, I have different goals this year, but no was a big thing because I was overextending myself. And I love to hide behind this facade of, like, Dana always wants to help people. And it is true. It is in my blood where, like, I will hurt myself to help somebody. Of course. When they need, but I was constantly doing it and it wasn't healthy. And so now it's just kind of like a no, it's okay, or no with no reason, just no. And
no is a full sentence.
Yes, no is a full sentence. And why would you do anything that you don't want to do? Like, let's say somebody asked me to help them move, or no, somebody asks me to pick them up from LAX. That answer will always be a no.
Did I see a tweet about that? Or like something that you posted on like Instagram? Where I was like, it actually is like, you're very thoughtful when you don't ask people to pick you up from LAX.
Yes.
I don't know, for listeners who don't know LAX, you will understand after you go through that airport.
Yes, but if, and like, let's say like this friend who needed me to pick them up could not necessarily afford it or anything, I'd be like, I will order you a car. I will order you a Lyft because I, taking care of myself, do not want to drive in traffic and then pick you up and then drive back in traffic. It's just, to me, I also think time is money, like a waste of time for me. I'm like, I will send you a car. And that's not like, of course there's privilege in that where I can send somebody a car, but that's also like everyone has Lyft. But it's just, I guess, priorities. And it's like simple steps like that for like saying no for airport pickups. Like from there, I've kind of built my no's further.
Wow. Well, that kind of sets like the precedent, right?
Yeah.
It becomes easier after that because it's like a big thing.
Yes.
And then it actually impacts the rest of your life domains, right? And you're like, oh, actually, no, this doesn't make me feel good. No, like, you know, I'm sleepy. No, like, I'm not going to drink today.
And you shouldn't be ashamed if you're saying, no, I'm not drinking, and no, I'm sleepy. Like, friggin' take care of yourself. If you don't want to go somewhere, then don't go. plain and simple.
And I think I love, I mean, it sounds easier than it yes. is, but I think you have demonstrated so well in our group that I'm like, you know, I'm just amazed. I'm like, oh shit, okay, Dana's not coming. Okay, whatever.
Dana's not coming.
But there's nothing wrong with that. Yes. It's like literally like she got to take care of her needs.
Yes. So, and I'm very clear about my boundaries too. Like boundaries are no's. And I love boundaries because mm-hmm. it helps me love you more. Love others around me more. Like yeah. without boundaries becomes like a toxic, unhealthy relationship. And it's like, it's okay to say no, and it's okay to stick with your boundary. And I am clear, like, with, I said, like, what, I said this on Instagram the other day, I was just like, if you invite me to go out somewhere and my dog can't come, like, 90% it's a no. And that's a boundary I'm drawing.
Yes! That's my child.
Yeah. So, I'm a crazy dog mom, it's fine.
Yeah. Boom. Boom. Well, that's amazing. I'm so glad Benny's here to support your nose.
Thank you.
So just to wrap things up, where can people find you on the web?
People can find me on at Dana Dang. Last name is Dang, like dang it. That's yeah. how I tell people how to spell my name all the time, and they laugh. So there you go. Rita just laughed.
Okay.
So at Dana Dang on Instagram, my business is Digital Media Architects. So you can find us at digitalmediaarchitects.com or at Digital Media Architects on Instagram. We also have a Facebook that we do not use, and we have a Twitter that we also do not use actively other than behind the scenes for insights and things like that for clients. But that's where you can find me, or you can find me walking Benny in Hollywood Hills.
Yes, and doesn't Benny have a IG as well?
Oh, his Instagram is at Benny the Boop.
All right. So cute. And so do you have a personal website, or is it just Digital Media
Architects? It's just Digital Media Architects.
Okay.
I don't have one.
No LinkedIn?
I do have a LinkedIn. Okay. So legally, my name is spelled D-E-N-A. So on all social media, you can find me Dana, D-A-N-A. But legally, it's spelled D-E-N-A because of my mom.
Boom. There we go. We're going to end it there. To be continued.
Goodbye. Follow Rita. All of her things.
Please.
And please review her podcast because she's got, I think, 87. I might be wrong today, but I think there's 87 reviews and they're all 5 stars. But if you're not going to rate it 5 stars, don't.
Well, thank you. Especially please rate Dana's episode another 10 stars. Well, Dana, this has been amazing. I love you so much. Thank
I
you
love
so
you.
Much for being on Ugh. Healing Out. It has been so life fulfilling.
Thank you, Rita, for doing this.
Of course.
This whole thing.
Thank you.
You just heard a conversation between me, Rita P, and Dana Dang, who is an all-around young badass of an entrepreneur promoting more good in the world through one social media handle at a time. And as you have noted in this conversation, so much was shared thematically around family, around strength and community effort to raise a child, identity, entrepreneurship, and creativity. And I think what was so beautifully shared by Dana herself was even though she could have let the challenges of family neglect and abandonment get to her, she reframed her circumstance and acknowledged how much independence she actually got from her upbringing and chose not to victimize herself to her family trauma. And overall, like, she basically rose to the occasion to facilitate a life that's meaningful and enriching to her. And of course, it helps that she had community. And of course, it helps that she inherently knew that she just wanted to do good in this world. And it helps that she also went to therapy. But again, what's important, I think, to take out of this episode is that, again, you don't have to jump off the cliff. Like Dana said, you can take baby steps to the ledge. You can make sure you have people on your side holding your wings up. And I think when you are ready to fly, you will know when to jump and then swim to your next destination. So we are here with you, fam. And let me tell you, it's been one heck of a journey for me to even leave UCLA and begin the next chapter of my life. And I'm 28 and Dana's 24. And so just a huge reminder for you, there is no right age for where you need to be in life. So I want to leave you with that to process as we end this episode. You can access resources from this conversation in the show notes and share feedback by emailing me via healingoutloud@gmail.com. And as always, if you have 2 minutes of your day today, it would be extremely helpful for you to leave a positive review and rating. This helps make the podcast more accessible for folks. So thank you so, so much for the folks who have already left a review and have poured your heart and soul. And I do read them, and I am, again, very touched by your words, and we'll be sharing a few on our social media accounts. So if you haven't done so yet, remember to follow Healing Out Loud on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook to get live updates. And if you're enjoying this podcast so far and would like to donate in exchange for gratitude for this resource, I want to invite you to make a one-time donation by donating to paypal.me/healingoutloud or by going to patreon.com/healingoutloud to donate on a monthly basis. And remember, this is a one-person show, and it would mean so much to have your support in any of the ways described above. Shout out to Los Angeles Roots members, Andrew Deavaley Tong, for mixing and producing the beats for this podcast, and Misty Person, Lao Supply, for the beautiful logo design. Joining us in 2 weeks is Lao American guest, Tina Maharat, and you heard that right. The Ohio State Senator repping District 3 is going to be on Healing Out Loud. And so I hope you mark your calendar again for this one. And tell your mama, your cousin, and everyone in your network to tune in. All right, fam, I'll twerk on you in 2 weeks. See you then.